Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
back. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. I, along with Kai Trail of New York City, my brother and friend, we are here to assist you in your studies. We are your lead students in these study sessions to give you a bird's eye view of the relationship, or should I say, the relationship you must have in order for that relationship to be productive for you. You see, a lot of people don't get a productive relationship with the Creator, mainly because of the fact that they don't follow the guidelines, the parameters set in that relationship. They simply want something for nothing. So they want to go along with their own way of thinking, they're leaning to their own understanding, and expect for the Creator to direct and order their steps. That simply does not suffice. The Creator expects you to maintain yourself within a codification in that relationship. He expects for you to love Him in that relationship. He expects for you to be humble to Him in that relationship. See, there are a lot of expectations, and to be recipients of all the good things coming from the Creator are contingent upon those facts. A lot of people have been miseducated and misinformed to believe that they can put the Creator on their back burners. They can use Him as bookends. They can just forget about Him entirely. It doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything. We can just crank it up and we'll get something out of it. If you believe that nonsense, you believe it in fool's paradise. And you would get what fools get in paradise. A whole lot of nothing. And also, Cartier and I will point out to you in some of these studies that relationships with your brothers and sisters are contingent upon your studies. Why? Because in fact, we don't know how to treat one another. And the evidence is quite clear. Universally speaking, we mistreat each other. We name call, we lie, we even kill. We write songs about it to glorify it too. We write rap songs. So what does that suggest to you? That we don't know how to treat one another. And so these studies are, for as the treatment of one another, are contingent upon that fact. And also, relative to that, in these studies, strangers, aliens, different nations. You see, it is quite evident, here nationally in these United States of America, and universally speaking, that we don't know how to treat other nations. It's quite apparent, especially when you don't even know how to treat yourself. You're certainly not going to treat any other nation any better than you perhaps treat yourself. So these studies will help show you that you can treat some nations right. You can be righteous with some nations. As a matter of fact, you should be righteous toward all nations. But that being said, all nations are not going to be right towards you. It's just the way it is. But that shouldn't stop you from trying to do right by nations that are trying to do right by you. Yes, you can. And yes, you should. Before Cartier and I get into these studies, you know, I like to make comments on contemporary subject matters. The rebels in Ethiopia have been blamed for the mass graves in Ethiopia, in the northern tip of Ethiopia. A lot of mass graves, a lot of bodies have been floating and down toward Sudan. I think a whole lot of bodies they've captured in the river, floating down Sudan. Women, children, and priests. And as I said in our studies previously, it's always the women and children that seem to suffer the most in these catastrophes. And so don't forget to mention them in your prayer to the Most High. And certainly don't forget to mention our brothers and sisters in Haiti. You know, they have been treated in a shabby manner. And they have been treated in a shabby manner since their freedom from the French. the universal white race supremacists didn't like that notion that they freed themselves from their white French brothers. And so they have made it quite hard for our Haitian brothers and sisters. And they still make it quite hard for them. So if you can do something for them, by all means do so. But if you can't do something for them in the physical component, you can always do something in the spiritual component. Don't forget to pray to Yah for their behalf. And in these United States, naturally speaking, it seems that, as I always say, country of mine, we seem to impress upon you guys that the Republicans and the Democrats are different sides of the same coin. Joe Biden has made great promises that it seems that he's not going to be able to deliver. That kind of strange to me. The one standing in his way is a Democratic senator in the name of Joe Manchin. It's kind of strange that the Republicans, with all their wickedry, can stand together and unify for whatever's wrong. But Joe Manchin, supposed to be part of the Democratic team, he seems to be standing in the way of everything. Maybe it's by design. He's standing in the way of your so-called voting rights. Maybe by design. Standing in the way of far as the infrastructure is concerned. Joe Manchin said, I'm willing to sign a contract for $1.5 trillion. I'm about not to sign no contract for $3.5 trillion. If he's the president of these United States of America, maybe by design. It seems like when it gets to the point that the Republicans take over the both houses, they have a legitimate excuse. Right now, they don't have a legitimate excuse, other than the fact that Joe Manchin is standing in the way of everything. Your so-called voting rights, the infrastructure bill, and so on and so forth. As I said, if he's the president, and perhaps he is. Perhaps he is the president of the universal white race supremacist component. Let's make them think that they're going to get something. Let's not give them a damn thing. They'll buy it. They bought it before. They'll march. They'll protest. They'll get all upset, and they'll go right back to the voting polls. Yes, they will. What a shame. What a shame. My name is Yom Sufari, and this is the Real People. May the Most High bless you by his words and the study of his word, and praise and bless his holy name for the tender mercy and kindness that he's shown toward us, even under these circumstances. For contrary, my dear brother and friend, what is your commentary? May the Most High bless you and your family. Shalom. Your mic is hot. Gotcha. Your mic is hot.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Yaakov. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother, my friend. May he bless you also.
I heard, you know, your commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to realize is that we in that kingdom that Daniel dreamt about.
Right.
He was so perplexed over that the Most High didn't give him an answer about, because he said that this kingdom will be in the end of days, and they will be a terrible kingdom. And that's what we're seeing. These people have no morals, no ethics, no integrity, no principle, that they speak with forked tongue, and that they're in the end of their dominion on the earth. Polluted the air, the water. They put animals on the extinction list. And last but not least, but most of all, they put their hands on Yah's people, Yah's inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And every nation that has put their hands on Yah's people, the children of Israel, have paid the severe price.
Mm-hmm.
We've read the history of the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Medes and the Persians, the Egyptians, the Greeks and the Romans. And all of them had their hands on Israel, and all of them paid the ultimate price.
Exactly.
And we're in that time where our captivity is over. 400 years is up. Israel is awakened to who we are, what our heritage is, and Yah fights our battles for us.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we in these captive lands, and these people think that they own us by, you know, systematic captivity, your property by birth certificate, by social security number, and all these things that keep us captivated artificially, but in fact, that's what the redemption process of Yah is all about. Because we don't belong to any nation. We, as a nation, belong to Yah.
Amen. Amen, country.
So, right. Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin.
Infrastructure, what the United States is going to do. The Temptations made a record called Ball of Confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the world is today, a ball of confusion.
Exactly.
The Democrats ain't going to get it together. The Republicans ain't going to get it together. Independents ain't going to get it together. We're seeing iron and clay, the final kingdom, the fourth kingdom, the daughter of Babylon. And y'all said that iron and clay does not mix.
And it's quite indicative, Katya. It's quite indicative. And so it seems it doesn't mix. All right. Well, I was going to say something. I lost my train of thought, Katya. I was going to say something.
The test is out of the book. We've had plenty of time to study Yah's word. Now the test is live and in living colors. Are you trusting science or are you trusting Yah?
On the job training, my brother. On the job training. All right. Well, Cottrell is done with his commentary. I'm certainly done with my commentary. We can get right to study. The most important topic that we're here for is the word of Yah. Okay? Cottrell, have you done with your study, your commentary?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Cottrell. May the Most High bless you. Fellow students, may the Most High bless you too and direct and order your steps by virtue of his word. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, will you please? Thank you. And we're going to start off with this young fellow. Now, he's a different type young fellow other than the other young fellow we read about, this young king. Now, let's find out how different he is. Young King Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned as king 31 years in Jerusalem, you know, following the ways of his father. And they always call King Dawud father without deviating. See, y'all got to understand this. You can't be making up no stuff on your own. You can't be doing no stuff just because you want to do it, which obviously this young king didn't, because he didn't deviate to the right or to the left. Now, in the 8 year of his reign, now that being, you got to, okay, he became king when he was 8. And in the 8 year, he reigned. So he was 16 years old at this time. While he was still young, he began to seek Yah of his father, King David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Yehuda. That means he's about 20 years old at this time. You know, he'd come into himself. Go ahead, Cartrell.
They don't talk about Jesus in the same manner as the descendants of King David, do they?
No, not in the same manner. None whatsoever. No connection to King Dawud.
He was in fact a descendant of King David. His name would have been written where? In the Book of the Chronicles, right?
Exactly.
And we would have been talking about how he ruled on the throne of King David, right?
Exactly.
Like all these other kings you're reading about. Mm-hmm. Some of them did good, and some of them not so good, right?
Exactly.
And we don't see the name of Jesus nowhere here in the Chronicles as descendants of their father, who? King David. All these things, he's their father? Oh, their father is King David. Because why? Mm-hmm. He's the founder. He's the one, the rock that you look at as who you measuring yourself against being king of Yehuda and Israel, right?
Exactly.
And nowhere in the New Testament does this measurement take place.
No.
They give the genealogy. He's supposed to be from King David, but no, he's not going through this kind of scrutiny like the sons, the true sons of King David.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason some of these kings lived so long, because they had to have sons for the Most High to preserve them, whether they were good or bad, right?
Right.
So some of these things, Most High was waiting for them to have a son that was right. Boom, now you got a son. Boom, I'm taking you out. And he's taking over.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that, but that's what y'all was doing.
Exactly.
Promise, the king, King David, who every king is measured against, that his seed would last forever.
Exactly.
In spite of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Gadriel. So it seems that this young fellow was 20 years old, and at 20 years of age, he began to purge Yehuda and Jerusalem of the shrines, you know, these idols, the sacred posts they outed, idols, as I indicated, the molded images, they had made images. At his bidding, they demolished the altar of the Baals. And he had the incense stands above them cut down. He smashed the sacred posts, the idols, and the images, grounding them into dust.
So we can't do that now, right?
You can if you wanted to. You can take whatever idol you got, your personal idol, if you want to get out of that. If you got some idols up in your house, you know you don't that. You don't supposed to be getting down with. You take that outside and do whatever you want to do with it. But you get.
Well,
you better not go.
Nation, but right?
You better not
have
go.
No king that's
no,
putting out that order to smash
no.
any church that got an idol. Man,
no,
you can't do that now.
Oh, you can't go to nobody's church and smash up their church, man. They're going to lock you up. Okay?
But that's what should be done, right?
Well, you can't do it in nobody else's land. This ain't your land. What should be done in your own land is to be done. But you can't let nobody else and take over, bro. You don't have any authority for that.
They'll throw you in jail, won't they?
You better believe it. And beat the brakes off you. No, Contrail. Don't sit them out there like that, Contrail.
Hey, there was a brother in New York who was going around smashing them Catholic statues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I checked it out. Yeah. Yeah, they got
and they
him.
They arrested him.
They got him, too. Yeah, he was out there
and
breaking
they had
up
to
items.
Let him go based on scripture.
Right.
Because he spit scripture at them, and they had to let him go out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it's not.
Yeah, he was up there smashing up items. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So at his bidding, they demolished the altars of Baals. Of the ball, and they had the incense stands above them cut down. He smashed the sacred posts, the idols, and the images, ground them into dust. And not only that, he strewn them into the graves of those who sacrificed. I mean, the priest, he strewn that into their graves. As a matter of fact, in conjunction with that, he buried the bones of the priests on their altars. The people that were already dead, he dug them up and burned their bones on the altar. And purged the heat. Man, these young fellas are cold, Contrail. I wouldn't want to get in no trouble with him.
Josiah, king of Israel, king of Judah.
Man,
he was not playing around, was he?
Man, he dug their bones up. He wasn't playing.
About the, he's eliminating the evil that's in the land, Father.
Exactly. And he praised Judah and Jerusalem. Even in the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as the Naphtalites, which was lying in ruins on every side, he demolished the altars and the sacred posts and smited the idols and ground them into dust in those locations. And he hewn down all the incense stand throughout the land of your Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. And the 18
so he wasn't years, just thinking about Judah and Jerusalem.
No, he was thinking about the whole nation. The whole nation.
Yes.
He was trying to cleanse the whole nation. He knew it was it wasn't about Jehuda and the Benjamites and the Levites that were remaining. He knew it was about the whole nation. So he was trying to purge the whole nation of the idolatry.
How many of us know about King Josiah?
Well, those that don't study don't know much about anything, country.
Okay.
They just know what they studied by the people they under. They under people. I didn't know you're supposed to be under people now. But since some folks say they under people, don't be under me. Don't go tell that lie to y'all. You was under Yom Suf. You was a lie and the truth ain't in you. You not under Yom Suf. You studying with Yom Suf. Don't go tell y'all that, okay? Don't put Yom Suf Arif in no trick bag. You not under Yom Suf, okay? You under Yah. You studying along with Yom Suf, okay? Thank you very much.
And Yom Suf?
Yes.
When the Most High reestablished the kings of Yehuda, which comes from the line of King David.
Right.
We're going to have to follow that man.
Yeah. Well, then, but you ain't under me. You ain't got to follow me across the street. Okay? Yeah, when the Most High reestablished everything, everybody going to know their role. And I'm going to follow right along with everybody else. The king of Israel. I'm going to listen to what the high priest, I'm going to listen to the prince of the 12 tribes, and particularly my own tribe. I'm going to listen to the elders of our hereditary houses, and most likely I suspect I'll be one. So, yes, I will follow.
And don't leave out the prophet that Yah will send in the midst of.
Yeah, I will listen to the prophet, okay? But right now, you're not under Yom Suf Arif, fellow students. You're studying along with Yom Suf Arif. So don't you go and lie to Yah and say it to you, the Yom Suf, say you under him. You ain't under Yom Suf. Don't even follow Yom Suf across the street, okay? I'm telling you that now. If you don't know now, you're right appropriate for this time. You study with it along together. Don't get it twisted. Okay, let's get back to these studies. So in the 18th year of his reign, after purging the land, the house, that, you know what he said in the house, the temple. He commissioned Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city. Yes, there was a governor of the city. And Joab, son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of Yah, his Elohim. They came to the high priest at the time of Hezekiah, and delivered to him the silver bowl to the house of Yah, which the Levites, the guards of the threshold, collected from Manasseh, Ephraim, and from all the remnants of Israel whom were left, and from all Yehuda and Benjamin, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They delivered it into the custody of the overseers who were in charge of the house of Yah. The overseers who worked in the house of Yah spent it on examining and repairing the house. They paid it out to the artisans and the masons to buy quarried stone and wood for the couplings and for making roof beam for the buildings of that the king of Yehuda, that all the kings up until his time had allowed to fall into disrepair, ruin. The men did the work honestly. Over them were appointed the Levites, Jahath, Obadiah, the sons of the Merari tribe, and Zechariah and Meshullam, the sons of the Kohath tribes of Levite, to supervise while other Levites, all the masters of music. We had masters of music. were over the porters surveying. They had dual jobs. They were over the porters supervising all who worked at each and every task. Some of the Levites were scribes. They wrote down things, and officials and gatekeepers. As they took out the silver that had been brought to the house of Yah, the priest, high priest Hilkiah, found a scroll of Yah's teaching given by Moses. They found this scroll. So the high priest spoke up and said to the scribe, Shaphan, I found a scroll of the teaching of the house of Yah, in the house of Yah. And the high priest gave the scroll to Shaphan. And Shaphan brought the scroll to the king, King Josiah. And also reported to the king what is going on. The who, what, when, where, and how. That's what's going on. Shaphan brought the scroll to the king and also reported to the king. All that was entrusted to your servant is being done. And they had melted down the silver that was found in the house of Yah and delivered it to those who were in charge, to the overseers. The scribe Shaphan also told the king Josiah, the high priest Hilkiah have given me a scroll. And Shaphan read from it to the king. And when the king heard the words of the teaching, he tore his clothes. And the king gave orders to the high priest Hilkiah and Anakim, son of Shaphan, and Abdon, son of Makkah, and the scribe Shaphan, and Isaiah, the king's minister, saying, go. Inquire of Yah on my behalf and on behalf of those who remain, not only for me, but for all who remains in Israel, a conscious king, and Judah, concerning the words of the scroll that has been found. For great indeed must be the wrath of Yah that has been poured out upon us because our fathers did not obey the word. Not Yom Suf, not following Yom Suf Cross Street. Because our fathers did not obey the word of Yah and do all that is written in his scroll. In this scroll.
So Yom Suf.
Yes.
Every generation of the nation of Israel is committed to this covenant.
You better believe
it. So we see king after king who realized, some of them realized they wasn't committed, some realized that he wasn't committed and went back to it, dusted the books off to find out what we needed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows even the kings of our nation didn't know that we was off course because the books had been put away or nobody was really paying attention to the books or the words of the Most High. But
right.
When they found out, this king, he rents his clothes and said, yo, we way off course and we need to get back on course. Which
exactly.
Means that every generation, we don't have kings now. But
no.
We need to get back on course for the Most High.
Yes, we certainly do. We certainly need to get on course. I concur with you on that, Cartrell. But right now, we're going to get back to these studies. High priest Hilkiah, those who the king had ordered went to the prophets, Hordula was a woman. She was a prophetess, wife of Shalom, son of Toka, son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe, who was living in Jerusalem, at Misna, and spoke to her accordingly. Everybody knew who the prophetess was. And he went to her, and he told her what the king asked. And she responded to him, thus said Yah Elohim of Israel, said to the man who sent you to me, thus said Yah, I'm going to bring disaster upon this place and its inhabitants. All the curses that is written in the scroll that was read to the king of Yehuda, because they forsook me and made offerings to other gods in order to vex me with all the works of their hands. My wrath shall be poured out against this place and not quenched. But
It's not because of Josiah. It's because of King Manasseh. King Josiah didn't vote the wrath of Yah. It was King Manasseh who set it off. And the fury that King Manasseh set off in Yah, he was not turning back from that wrath. Even though he slew King Manasseh's son, King Amon, Amon's son, King Josiah, took over and tried to do what was right and pleasing in Yah's sight.
Right.
Mosiah was angry with King Manasseh, and he wasn't going to turn back for what he promised that he would do.
Right. Thank you, Kadriel, for enlightening the students. Goes on to say, my wrath shall be poured out against this place and not be quenched. But say this to the king of Yehuda who sent you to inquire of the Elohim. Thus say Yah, Elohim of Israel, as for the words which you have heard, since your heart was softened and you humble yourself before Yah, when you heard his words, it would apply to anyone, concerning this place and inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and as indication of that, you tore your clothes and I, for my part, have listened, declares the Elohim. Surely, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be laid in your grave in peace. I shall see nothing of the disaster that I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. They reported this back to the king. Then the king sent word and assembled the elders of Yehuda and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of Yah with all the men of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites, all the people, young and old. He read to them the entire text of the contract scroll that was found in the house of the Elohim. The king stood in his place and solemnized the contract before the Elohim to follow the Elohim and observe his commandments. His injunctions and his laws with all your heart and soul to fulfill the terms of the contract written in the scroll. He obligated all the men of Jerusalem and Benjamin who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem acted in accord with the contract of Yah, Elohim of their fathers. King Josiah removed all the abominations from the whole territory of the Israelites and obliged all who were in Israel, even if you were of a different nation, you were a stranger, to worship Yah, their Elohim. Throughout his reign, they did not deviate from following Yah, Elohim of their fathers. See, you got a good leader, Kartrell. You know, what did Elijah McClain say when they was killing him? Which made a lot of sense to me, but not in that regard. Elijah McClain said, what did he say? What did Elijah say? Let me get it right. What did Elijah say? He said, a good dream team. He said something about team. Teamwork makes dream work. Yes, that's what Elijah McClain was saying. And in our regard, and trusting in the word of Yah, I would agree with that. Teamwork makes dreams work. And surely we have to understand, Cartier, it's about us. It's not about one individual. And teamwork makes dream work. But that would apply to the nation of Israel. Cartier, what is your commentary? And then once you make your commentary, I think Sister Judith has made her appearance, or Sister Adora, one of the two. I mean, somebody's number. So what is your commentary, Kajir?
That leadership in the nation of Israel is very important because we see that our leaders led us in either the right direction or the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when our kings led us in the wrong direction, it was consequential for generations to come. And it seems that with the good works that King Josiah did, it really didn't matter because Yah had already pronounced judgment because of the things that King Manasseh had done in Judah. So that sentence was already pronounced. King Josiah tried to clean it up, but the sentence was already pronounced, and that's why we're in captivity now, both Judah and Israel.
But Contreras, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, yes, you said there was a pronouncement, and we all agree with that. But so it goes to suggest, just because there's a pronouncement of judgment and it's a foregone conclusion, that don't give you liberty to do nothing wrong. They double down, Katya, trying to get it right. Wouldn't you say so?
Exactly. Which is why King Josiah is written in the books of the Chronicles as one of the righteous kings of Judah, right?
Exactly.
And the Most High is going to remember that, even though he was angry with King Manasseh. He's not going to put his wrath on King Josiah because he was angry with King Manasseh.
Exactly.
But he had already pronounced judgment on the nation based on what King Manasseh was doing, right?
Exactly.
So we had to go through that punishment in spite of us trying to do what was right under King Josiah.
And no matter what our forefathers did, that'll give you liberty and justice. Liberty and freedom to do what's wrong. It should be incumbent upon you, and an example is left to do what's right in spite of what you know will come down the creek. Just like we know what's coming down the creek, but that doesn't give you liberty to do what's wrong. As a matter of fact, you should be doubling down on trying to do what's right. Isn't that right, Contrail?
Well, I'm going to put it this way. The Most High was upset with King Manasseh. Why? What was King Manasseh doing? King Manasseh was shedding the blood of Yah's people, wasn't he? From one end of Judah to the other. King
exactly.
Manasseh. Not
exactly.
Only his own people, but his own sons.
Right.
You killing the sons of King David as a sacrifice to some idol god. And that provoked the anger of Yah, which is
exactly.
why he sent Yehuda into captivity based on what King Manasseh was doing. And even though King Josiah tried to clean up what his father did, Yah was already furious and angry with us, and he was going to make us pay because King Manasseh was killing the sons of King David, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's what it says. He sacrificed his own sons, and his sons are the sons of King David. And guess
exactly.
what? The fact that King Manasseh sacrificed his sons, the sons of King David, because all the sons, all the kings are referred to the sons as sons of King David, right?
Exactly.
Even up to King Hezekiah, all these kings we're talking about, the Most High refers to them as who? The sons of King David. And the fact that you're killing the sons of King David, Most High is going to judge you.
Exactly.
And he was furious with King Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
Even though King Josiah tried to do what was right, the Most High was already furious, and he already made the pronouncement and declaration that Judah was going to go into captivity, just like his sister Israel did, and that's what happened.
So, Contrail, let me ask you this. So, does that go to show you, and the other fellow students, that Yah means what he said and says what he means, and that he is not fickle and when he says something? Is that not true?
If you don't know it's true, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I concur with Contreras. If you don't know now, you in real big trouble. All right, Contreras. If you're done with your commentary, I'm going to bring on, it may be Sister Adora, maybe Sister Jehuda. I don't know the pretext of their numbers right away. It may be Sister Adora. I'm not certain. Area code 313. May the Most High bless you. Yeah, amen. Is Ima? Okay. Ima Hadora. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
No, it's Ima Yehudi.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Ima Yehudi. My bad. May the Most High bless you.
313 is Detroit, baby.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Hey, Ima, I ain't looking for no trouble. I'm sorry.
I still love both of you.
We love you too.
But,
we senior citizens now.
Yes, we are.
At least me and you are. Now I'm suit
tight
going to club.
Look here, I got 35 more days. Y'all need to scoot over.
We ain't scooting over until the 35 days is up. Nah. Let's double team him, Cotriel.
No doubt. We're the single citizens.
Y'all wrong for that.
No, we're not. We love you.
We love you.
You can
do it
out, baby.
I love y'all, too.
So this is what I was going to say with the reading, is that it's interesting in the mercy of the Most High when he says to the ruler, the king, he says, see, I am gathering you to your father, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, so that your eyes would not see all the evil that I am bringing on this place and
yes.
its inhabitants.
Why is y'all doing that?
And that's, to me, so merciful. He acknowledged this king was doing everything right. He brought the Passover. He did the distribution with the Levites. And it was just wonderful. But so he will not see the destruction of what was going to happen to Yahuwah. That's a good point. Any comments?
Yes. My comment is, powerful as King Josiah was, guess what he did before Yah? He humbled himself.
Right.
If the king, with his power and his might and his prestige, has the ability to humble himself, who are we that we can't humble ourselves?
Right.
You and I and Sister Yehuda, and I'm not going into detail, was privy to a private meeting, and we and where men and where the women seem to have humbled themselves, but we've seen Israel, well, men, but like I said, the sisters, I got to get in their prop. They sort of humbled themselves on Yah's word, but we've been privy to a private meeting. Well, the brothers didn't seem to have the same favor that the sisters had. Okay? And they're not even king of the land. So,
now, Stu,
yes, go ahead.
The greatest challenge that the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has given to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, is to what? Humble yourself.
Right.
That's a challenge for us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is, Cartrell. And you know what? And you are seriously, that's the most serious thing that you ever said tonight, that you said tonight. That is a challenge for us, Cartrell. For some of us,
the greatest challenge for us.
Yeah.
The greatest challenge for us, Yamsu. The greatest challenge for our people is to do what?
Humble. Humility.
And guess what? Humility is our greatest power.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Moses the humblest man that y'all ever knew?
And you know what they call him? They don't call him by a title. They call him, said, the man of Yah. That's all they, mm-hmm. every time we read about him, they said, they don't give him no title. They said, that the man of Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And how much power did he have?
That man had mad power.
There's no Israelite that comes close to Moshe.
No.
You can't name one except Elijah, who never died.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Moshe wasn't even looking for no title, contrary.
He tried to avoid the job, didn't he?
Yeah,
he said, send somebody else.
Yeah.
He wasn't vying for the job.
Yeah.
He said, I can't.
That's how I feel.
Israel ain't going to listen to me. I shouldn't even think. Israel's not going to listen to me.
Right.
And you know Israel. They're not listening to you. And Moshe stuttered. His brother's stuttering. We're not listening to him. Stutter. Yah said, you going. You my servant that I'm sending. Moses had no choice in the matter, did he?
Exactly.
So the fact that Moshe was humble gave him his greatest power. And our greatest challenge, because we think humility and meekness is soft.
Is weakness.
Huh?
It's weakness. We think it's soft.
But what did Yah say? Who's going to inherit the earth?
The meek.
The humble.
The meek, the humble, and the contrite.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal, to be what? Meek,
humble, and contrite.
And contrite. Contrite means you know you got more iniquities than the hairs on your head. Like
and, you know you're lower than a worm, like King David said too.
And that's not the life I want to live. I want to change. Want to change in order to walk the path of righteousness that has been designed for me.
Hallelujah.
Not the path that the enemy has set up, because the path that the enemy has set up is vanity. And they got you chasing dead white men on president.
Well, that's doing a church
dead
thing.
White men on paper.
That's how they think set up.
Dead
church
white
thing.
Men on paper.
Yeah, they think set up on the church thing. Everybody want a title in the church. And so basically, some of us are emulating that church thing, that Roman Catholic thing. You know what I mean? And so they got warehouses of titles. They'll give you a title today and give you four more tomorrow. But then what do those titles really confer on you from Yah? If those titles don't confer on anything on you from Yah, they're worthless as the name that they have.
I'm going to tell you this, sir.
Yes.
The Most High wasn't pleased with titles, was he?
He wasn't.
We asked for a king. Y'all said, I ain't tell y'all to ask for no king.
Right.
I want a king, I'm going to give you a king. He ain't going to be the king you want. He going to take advantage of y'all. And that's what King Saul did, right?
Right. He certainly did. Certainly did.
So we look for titles.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you call the prophet Moshe? What do you call him?
We just call him Moses.
We don't even know who's the first anointed in the nation of Israel, the first Messiah. Who's the first Messiah in the nation of Israel?
I say Moses.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay. Who?
His brother.
Aaron.
Oh, Aaron.
The high priest, right?
Okay.
The high priest. Mm-hmm.
The high priest.
Moses' brother, Aaron, was the first human being to receive the anointing oil.
Mm.
You know what the Most High said about that oil? What the Most High say about that oil, Yamsu?
It's special. It's special. Okay, nobody
put it on.
Right. Only the high priest and the king.
Okay. Who was the
first? Anointed. Wow.
Yeah. Only the
y'all
high priest.
Y'all learned something today.
Mm-hmm. Moses' brother was the first Messiah of the nation of Israel. He wasn't the savior. He assisted in the salvation of Israel. But he didn't get credit because y'all said, I'm the Lord your God who saved you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, right? He didn't mention Moses or Aaron, did he?
Mm-mm.
And Aaron is the first Messiah of the nation of Israel because he was the first anointed, him and his sons, right?
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, he lost two of his sons in the process, didn't he?
Exactly.
Right?
Which shows
and
you how
told,
serious
told,
that
was
process
told.
Is. It
right.
shows you how serious the process of anointing is.
Yeah,
because the first people that were anointed with the oil, two of them lost their lives.
Let me say this. Right? Because if y'all have a good time, give me a word in. And you let me sum it up, which is today. And since man been walking on earth, that when the creator give us responsibility, we tend to think that we got to have titles to prove to other people. The truth of the matter is that the responsibility is carrying the work of the creator. And I can remember reading and studying that we weren't stupid people. We were just neck because we had a lot of talents that was said in a previous conference call.
Exactly.
And the thing that Moray and I were talking, we were on a conference call earlier, is that we got to start thinking nation.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Instead of individualism.
Right. That's
that
the problem.
No matter what level our brothers, sisters at, you know, we have to support one another. We don't have to agree on certain things. Sometimes we don't agree because we don't know. But see, I'm not ashamed. If I don't know, I say, I don't know.
Me
but
too.
It's my responsibility to read and get the information if I desire. And I don't agree just to be agreeing. I must know something to agree what that person is saying. But it's our responsibility to know who our Creator is. And it's our character when we were out and about, because the other day when I said, I'm the same. I don't change just because if I'm around a person who say they're awake. It's okay to say shalom and hallelujah. I said, but Christians do it too. They be saying hallelujah. They don't realize they praise the Most High combined with the deity.
Right.
You know, you be yourself. You be what the Most High mold you to be. And we all got different jobs in this, and, you know. And reading this, when I said, because he did, even as the Most High, if it's your will, I don't want to see the destruction of this country while I'm here. If so, save me out of it, if I'm worthy. Because I don't, like I was speaking to another Anima, and I said, you know, we don't know exactly. We can only have conversation and reading through the scriptures from the, hopefully and prayfully, we understand what took place back then. It's about what's going on right now. That's why it's not like an ancient book of the things that happened historically. Yes, they are. But what is he saying to us now today in the so-called 21st century that to bring us together? And hopefully we can be saved out of the trials and tribulations, because it's easy to say, oh, it's happening to them. But it's not. I mean, we got brothers and sisters contracting COVID, still have ills and problems. Will they turn around and denounce the Creator if they're not that strong? Will some continue? Because there's continued death anyway. People don't realize that the ones that are not woken are our people. And they're dying every day. And people getting kicked out of their homes. And it's not just looking at what happened in Mexico, California, and various places, Greece, we can go on and on and on. But things, this turbulence going on in this world, these nations are being shaken up. But because it has not affected us to the point where we are out of our homes and we're destitute, we don't believe these things will affect us. Let's look at reality for what it is. You know, we've been around people come and go, and as long as we've been on this earth, there are people who are naysayers, who think we're crazy. One, I was accused, you just like a Jehovah's Witness saying, because they predicted 1 year, this was good. I said, no, I'm not predicting anything, because I don't know. I'm just telling you what's going on right now. The things of biblical, as they call it, proportions is going on. And who's to say these things are going to stop? Man can't say that. And say there is a reprieve. So what? Because he said, my way isn't your way. So we got to hang on, people. We got to support one another and love one another. Our power is the Most High power. And our spiritual power is strong. And let's not just honor him with our lips, but let's change. I'm speaking to people who are listening. Please, let's change our lives. Turn it around. Zehu.
Thank you, Ima. You said a mouthful. And I would have to concur with you and hallelujah on that. But Contrail is going to share with us a lovely song from our King Dawood of ancient. And while he's sharing it with us, I'm sure he's going to break it down for some of us, like we're 40 years old, but that's okay, because some of us don't know what these songs are saying. But Contrail, he's a good guy. He knows how to break things down for you to a common denominator, so you can understand what the King is saying, what he's getting at, to who, what, where, when, and how. Contrail, we're all ears.
Well, at this point in time, we finished King David, and we're into Asaph, the singer, who's composed his own songs that are filled with prophecy and wisdom, right?
Exactly.
Asaph. We was meditating whether or not he's the one that wrote the fables that we read when we was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it was him, Asaf, and his Naval.
Right.
He's a composer. He's a writer. And the wisdom that he puts forth is on the same level as King David, which is why amongst the Psalms that we're reading. And I believe we're in the book of Psalms, chapter 77.
Exactly.
So as much as the prophets can deliver the nation to bring understanding to the people, as much as the king can bring understanding to the people, like the kings that got the things in order, like King Hezekiah, King Josiah, there were other kings that took us left, worshiping idols and foreign gods, the gods that the nations were worshiping. Then there's times when the people set the king in his proper place. So we the people now, we don't have a king.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we're immersing ourselves in the word of Yah, we have the ability to reach the heart of our Creator. When we repent, when we ask Yah to help us, when we ask Yah to help deliver us, like the pattern of the kings that we're reading about, anytime they were in trouble against enemies that were greater and mightier than themselves, they went straight to the formula. They took the antidote. And the antidote is here for us, as it was for our ancient king. So the singer Asa, we wish we could have heard his voice, how he put this together in music. But this is a song that he wrote. Praise Yah, the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even our brother Asaph, our king, King David, King Solomon, and any other writer, composer that put together wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we might connect with our Creator. The Book of Psalms, chapter 77. I cry out to Elohim. I cry out to Elohim, and he hears me. How many of us cry out to Yah, and he hears us? I know for me, every time I cry out, Yah answers my prayer. He hears my cry. From the littlest thing to the greatest thing. That's all I got to say. How about you? Do you call on Yah from the littlest thing, the smallest thing, to the greatest thing? When I was in distress, I sought Yah, which is what I do. My hands were raised at night, and they did not grow weary. I refused to be comforted. So when you're in trouble, no, there is no comfort until Yah answers you. I remember Elohim, and I groan. I meditate when my spirit grows faint. And the art of meditation is a lost art. To keep my eyes open, I was troubled and could not speak. I thought of ancient times. So somebody that's thinking about ancient times is a person that studies ancient times, which is what we should be doing. I thought of ancient times. We're reading about our king. We're reading our history. We're reading about their relationship with Yah. We're reading about the people, the prophets, the priests, and everybody. So we think about ancient times if we're studying, considering years long past. How did our ancient fathers connect with you? What did they do to reconnect with you when they went wrong? Yeah, we think about that. During the night, I remember my song, Asa. He got a lot of songs. I meditate in my heart, spirit ponders, which is what we should all be doing. Will Yah reject me forever and not show favor again? And that, yo, that should be a question in all of our minds. Why are we going through so much trouble? Has Yah rejected us and forgotten us forever? Has his gracious love ceased forever? Will his promise be unfulfilled in future generations? So he asking, is Yah lying to us? Everything that you read and studied about the future for the nation of Israel, is it not true? Has Elohim forgotten to be gracious? Has his anger withheld his compassion? So I say, he causes me pain. With the right hand, the Most High has changed. I will remember Yah's deeds. Indeed, I will remember your awesome deeds from long ago. As I meditate on all your work, I will consider your awesome deeds. From ancient times, how you brought us out of Egypt, how you conquered the land of Canaan for us, how you killed the giants in the eyes of the nation with the shepherd boy. These are the wonders and the power of Yah. Elohim, your way is holy, our great Elohim. Elohim, you are the one performing awesome deeds. Every day, he brings the sun up, the seasons end. You reveal your might among the nations. The nations know. They try to break it down scientifically, but they know it's Yah. You deliver your people, the descendants of Yaakov and Yosef, with your power. Who delivers us? Not a Messiah, but Elohim himself, God himself. The waters saw you, Elohim. The waters saw you and withered. Indeed, the depths of the sea quaked. The clouds poured rain. The skies rumbled. Indeed, your lightning bolts flashed. So all of creation, everything that he created, fears Yah. Your thunderbolt sound was in a whirlwind. You're talking about hurricanes and tornadoes. Your lightning lights up the world. The earth becomes agitated and quakes. That's why they're breaking out FEMA now, billions in aid now, because Yah sent his forces forward in the form of hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes. Your way was through the sea and your path through the mighty waters, but your footprints cannot be traced. You have led your people like a flock by the hands of Moshe and Aaron. So we may perceive ourselves as being strong and mighty, proud and arrogant, but we are sheep. As a matter of fact, we are the flock of the Most High, and we need to be led by men like Aaron and Moses, not our enemy, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, my man DeSantis from Florida, or whatever politician you want to put in the place of Moses and Aaron, men of God. We are flocks that need to be led by men of God, like Moses and Aaron, point blank. We flock. We sheep.
Amen, God, Jim. Thank you, God, Jim, for that study. I'd like to ask Imam Yehuda, what is her commentary?
Wow. In there, he said he gave us up over to the sword, and he was wroth with his inheritance at the time and now, and his young men were consumed by fire, and his maidens were not praised. His priests fell by the sword, and their widows could not weep. And Yah awoke as one asleep, as a mighty man who shouts because of wine. And he smote his adversaries backwards. Isn't that something I was thinking about today, this nation? And how it's in turmoil. And how we have to
be
strong.
What was that?
Pardon?
What was that you just read?
70, Psalm 78, verses 61, 62, 63, 64, 65.
Oh, so you went ahead.
Just
you're
like
doing
Yom
Tutu.
We got something, Yom Tutu.
We got something in common.
We got something in common, don't we, brother? But not to
y'all
confuse
need to slow
honor.
Down for all the rest of us students. That's
okay.
Not trying to jump ahead.
Well, let me say this. Let me go back and reiterate so it won't be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
We can compare with the events that's going on today, and I want a correction, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't trying to apply that a reprieve, that the Most High will give a reprieve. I'm saying people will say that. Let's just say hypothetically, if for several months all this chaotic stuff isn't let's say they feel died down from their own perception. And I'm saying we cannot look at that in that respect, because his way isn't our way. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His thoughts are higher than we can even imagine. And even though we look around us and we see the misguiding and the misteaching of our people, we have to continue, no matter what, through him, to be that example, despite what's going on in our lives as well as others, that we cannot determine. You know, I know I heard you, Cartriel, say doomsday one time, that it's not, I know it's not going to get better, but I cannot say for surety how it's going to be. I'm just a servant out here warning the people to change their lives out of love.
Thank you, Ima. Cartriel, what's your closing remarks and comments?
What happened to Cartriel?
If we know Yah's plan, I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Okay.
We know that wickedness is going to multiply exponentially, right?
Exactly.
Which brings about gross darkness amongst the people, right?
Right.
So Yah's given us time to learn early where the light is at, where our refuge is at, where our salvation is at, in order to cling to it. And when that gross darkness comes, which we know is coming, because we know that Yah's putting confusion in the minds of the people, he put confusion in the minds of the leaders. What's that record, The Temptations? Put together, ball of confusion.
Ball of confusion, yeah.
And it's worse now than it's ever been, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say? When they made that record, it wasn't as bad as what it is now.
They told the truth.
Oh, yeah. So we tend to make music that's prophetic, right?
Like
Asaph and King David with these psalms. So we know that gross darkness is going to hit the people, because people have lost their morality, their integrity. They don't know Yah. They're doing what they want to do. Violence has increased. And, I mean, where do we go from here? You my age, we were born in the same year. And it ain't like it was, is it?
No.
It's not like it was. When we was 10, 12 years old, we have family. We have friends. The friends we had, we knew their mother and father. And my mother knew my friend's mother and father, right?
Right.
Today, you can't say that, can you?
No.
Can't say that today. And how much better can it get when people are doing what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it, and they're being influenced by Western minds. We're an Eastern people being influenced and guided by Western doctrine. That's never going to work, is it?
Yeah, but they don't want to give it up.
Our people?
Yeah, a lot of they don't want to give it up.
Because they think that the success formula is to imitate our enemy. When our power is greater than all power. And when you're connected with all powerful, the all power, the power that gives power to power, there's nothing that can defeat you, right? That's why we should walk with the spirit of holy boldness, like our brother, our cousin Ishmael. Ishmael is the firstborn son of Abraham, our father, and he has no fear. Why? Because he's connected with the powers, which is why the Taliban could beat two world superpowers. Right? We have that same ability to conquer the superpower, because we're in the belly of the beast. We think they got us, but nah, we got them. As long as we stand in righteousness, because their iniquity, their wickedness, their evil is going to be the thing that takes them down. And Yah fights our battles for us against the wicked. Right? So the
test
is off the book. We live in a test now. Who do you choose? Do you choose science? Or do you trust Yah?
Mm.
And Yah's marking down who trusts him and who don't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
All right. Thank you, Gadriel. Well, thank you, Ima Judah. Thank you, fellow students.
Thank you, little brother.
Whatever.
I like to pick with you. You
get him, Yordy. Get him.
Hey, check this out. I'm gonna ask Sister. Now, I know she knows this song. I'm gonna ask Sister Judith and Brother Cartier to sing along with me on this song. We're gonna sing this song together. We might not get all the words right, but we're gonna come closer to great ball of confusion. That's what the world is
today. Hey,
let me hear.
People move in it.
The city's aflame in the summertime. And all in the beat goes on. Evil destruction, tax deduction. Like the marbles in demand. Suicide to India. If you move into the hills. People all over the world are shouting in the world.
In the world.
In the band
plays on.
He had to show us up. Yeah, he knew all
his
words.
You know what,
you ain't right.
You know what, Ima Yehuda, when I learned it in the 70s, mm-hmm. You know, when I learned it, I never forget it. Because the song had it was so powerful. When I heard it at the time in the 70s when it came out, when I learned the song, you know, I never forget it. It just, when I saw it sing, it just come back to me. Just like, and I'm pretty sure Cartier can allude to the fact. You know, some of the words come to him just like that. You know, and perhaps you, some of the words come to you like that.
Well, I'm going to ask you a stupid question. Do you have that on, DJ?
No. I don't. Okay. No, I wish I had, but I don't think I got that one. Uh-huh. I don't think I got that
one. You ain't the DJ we thought you were.
Yeah, you know what? You're a real hater. Just because y'all my elders. Y'all ain't got to hurt my feelings like that, okay? Just because y'all my elders. Y'all ain't got to hurt my feelings.
You thought you was a DJ. You had everything.
Y'all ain't right. But I do got something. Hey, but I
the world is today.
Well, yeah. I do got this for y'all in closing, and I know all y'all know this, so. When I play it, I think some of y'all that grew up with Cartier and Ima Yehuda know this song. And when I'm going to share this with you, because it's certainly true.
Hold up. They got a TV show out now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's on Netflix or whatever, The Wonder Years.
Right.
They talking
Wait,
about... Huh?
The Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm. In 1968, when I was 12 years old.
Right.
That's me. That's you, that's Sister Yehuda. In 1968, we was all, 12 years old.
12 years old.
Yep.
They got a show.
Yeah. And see, we know in detail. I mean, they just know what they hear or know what they read.
Right.
But we lived the life. So we know what we know. You know what I mean? And so the song I'm about to play for us in closing alludes to the fact sometimes, you know, the situation, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And far as this Western country is concerned. And sometimes they really can't be your friends, as much as you may want them to be. They really can't be your friends. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but they're on a different road than what you're on, Western country.
Mm-hmm. They don't want to be our friends, huh?
No, truth be told, they don't want to be. And like I said, when you got folk tripping on themselves and lying, Emok or Katria, they trip on it, trip over their feet to tell a lie. Do you really want to be friends with people like that? I mean, come on, Emok, Katria, you see them at children's schools cussing and fussing about wearing a mask. You see them in their political arenas, just lying and lying and lying and lying.
And then, you know, they told me I was in college material.
Right.
Man,
it don't look like they are in the eyes of country, if that's the case. And old Slow Joe, he don't know where he at.
Right.
When I got to college, I saw all these white kids cheating on their test.
That's what they do. That's what they do.
Yeah. I did
my
work.
They still do.
Same here, Patriel.
I did my work.
I was college material. I concur with you. They talk about, you know, I ain't thinking about them.
But that's what they put in our minds. They try to put that in our minds, Emok, and contrary that negativity. And they like to traumatize us with it. And they like to, what does Katriel like to say? Psychological warfare.
Yes.
So they like to use that on us to say you're less than, you don't have the skills, you don't have the mindset, you know, you don't have the tools to do so, and a bunch of lies. And then Katriel alludes to the fact, Katriel said, saw more of them cheating, and Katriel didn't even know nothing about cheating until he went to school.
We didn't.
Yeah,
Katriel,
man, Katriel said he saw folks with their whole lesson on their arms.
Right. They will be cheating.
On their knees, you know, man. On their tongue. Man, come on, Katriel. Katriel ain't lying. That's how they do it.
I agree.
They went to the library and got other people's papers.
Yes.
And changed a few words around.
Yes.
And submitted it as they work.
Yes.
They did a lot of plagiarism.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
For me,
I had to go through the whole experience. I'm not cheating. I'm going to show you I am college material. As a matter of fact, my work was so good, my professors would steal my work.
Yes, you too?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought I was
tell me they lost it. So I would have to make copies of it when I gave it to them. Because they would use it for their own works, because they had to keep submitting works in order to maintain their professor status.
Haven't they been doing that since we came here and some of us are already here? One instructor did have at least the decency to ask for a copy for his nutrition class. He thought it was the best work about heart disease. So, I know where you're coming from.
And they still are. They do. They told my wife, we were going to college together, that no Israelite person ever graduated from Purchase's psychology department.
Mm.
It was about seven sisters that they told that to, and they were sitting around in the room crying. I walked in the room. I see them crying. I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? And they said Professor Peabody told us that no black person ever graduated from their psychological department. So I'm like, yo. We're going to prove this dude wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're
going
to show him how stupid he is to even say stuff like that. And
no, he was stupid, Katja. He was a universal white race supremacist. And
No question. So my wife, I helped her get her degree.
Mm-hmm.
She's studying psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the focus in psychology is on the mother and the child.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my wife, you need to do a study on the impact of the father and the child.
Mm-hmm.
What impact does the father have on a child?
Right.
That's what she did her senior thesis on.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, her professor was so excited about her work that she took it for herself.
I believe it.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't changed because it happened to my mother. But the teacher told her that she'll never make it, and this is back in the 40s. paper. The paper was an A paper, but he gave her a C plus because he felt that she could only work as a domestic, that she couldn't go to college. Now, this is in the 40s. And there's a lot of Caucasian people don't know this, and I'm going to be honest, but they don't. They don't know what we have to go through now, and we're talking about the 90s now. I jumped back to the 40s. My grandmother in 1900s witnessed a lynching, not just once, but twice. So you see the pattern? Things have not changed.
No.
It's and our young people don't know, and they're thirsty. Huh?
It's modern day lynching. It is teaching.
Yes.
Modern day. Well, all right, Ima and Katria, we better get ready to get out of here. You know, Ima, Judith, and Cartrell, and I, we don't know much. But we do know this for certain. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been studying right along with us, Ima, Judith of Detroit, Cartrell of New York City, and Yamsu of Memphis. You've been studying right along with us, and we hope that what we share with you, that you emulate, that you meditate on, that because it's the word of Yah. It's not our opinion, what we think about the situation. We just gave you commentary on our studies. But it is the word of God. May you apply it in your lives. May it utilize. May it be your shield, your high tower, your buckler, your rock, because you're going to need it. And also, most importantly, we always suggest at the end of all of these study sessions that you get the right spirit, like Sister Yehuda indicated she had a steadfast spirit. Like I know for a fact that Katria has a steadfast spirit, that when all assails you, you can bear the brunt of the situation and you can keep it moving in the right direction. Also, I can detect that Sister Yehuda and Cartrell have the right kind of heart, which is like one that loves the Most High with all that heart, mind, soul, and strength. In conjunction with that, brothers and sisters, as they said, because Sister Yehuda indicated that you got to love your brothers. So she indicated that when she first came on the show. So you know she has the right heart. And because you can't not love your brothers and sisters and think you're going to have a quality relationship with the Most High. It's not going to work out. Okay?
Nope.
And then at the end of all that, you must thirst after righteousness.
Hallelujah.
You got to have it. May the Most High bless us. May you direct and order our steps and stop leaning to your own understanding. That's why we study. It is not cute. We love you. Shalom. And good night.
Good night.
Walking down.